Are we ready? Romans chapter 8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Bible says, and you know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him. That's good. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to let you know that those are bad things. The challenging things, the tough things that happen in your life. God's going to work that out for the good. It's not like God just bring you good things. God takes the bad things and uses them to good. All right. Who have been called according to his purpose, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And though he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That's sounding good, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Now it starts getting steep. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. As it is written, for your sake, wait a minute. Is this really supposed to be in here? Maybe we just need to erase verse 36 out of this. It says, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. Did you sign up for that? It's right here in the book. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Well, you want to win, that means you got to fight.
That's
right. Amen. Did you guys sign up for that? I just want to have victory just gift wrapped. I want UPS man to bring me just a big old box of victory. I don't want to have to struggle. I don't want to have to persevere. But that's how you learn to persevere, amen, in the midst of challenges. He says, no, in all these things, what things? Hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword, and death. In these things, as you face these things, as you overcome these things, then we're more than conquerors. Are you tracking with me? He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good word. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, some of us fighting that fight. Lord, some of us struggling in that fight. Lord, some of us getting pushed back by that fight. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we take a look at the power of warfare, Lord, the power of prayer, Lord, that you would meet those that struggle, Lord, that you would meet those, Lord, that are taking a breath, Lord, and just would encourage them and equip them, Lord, to persevere, Lord, through these challenges, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as you would fashion your church, Lord, as an instrument for your hand, Lord, that you would move in each person's life here this morning, Lord. And that we would glorify you in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I don't normally do this, but I have my phone here. The ringer is off. If you have your phone, please take your ringer and turn it off. But, you know, I downloaded a guitar tuner for my phone. You got one of those, Ed? It's very cool. But it was one of the first things that I ever downloaded on my phone. And ever since I downloaded that, I get all these things being downloaded all the time. Has that ever happened to you guys? Some of these apps, you know, they're like open doors and they just let anything come into your phone. Well, I have that. And I didn't really understand the whole phone thing. So I was just like, well, I don't care. I'm not using that stuff. Until last week. Last week, something happened and my cool keyboard was replaced by this junky keyboard. And my phone had been getting all kind of funky, you know, and stopping and halting. But I did the big thing. I did the factory reset. There's a little button in there, and it said factory reset. It says, are you sure you want to do this? Have you backed up everything you want to keep? Have you got your I want to just blast this thing out, man. And it took like 15 minutes, you know, and it was stopping, and it was starting, and it was erasing. And it came back, and it was just wiped clean. And I'd upload all my contacts. Some of you guys aren't in there again, but I got most of them. And then, you know, I went on eBay, and for like $3, I bought one of these new cases for it. And then they were like $20, you know, look in the store. And then for $2, I got a new screen protector. And I am telling you, this thing is looking so good. But you know what? I didn't do all this so it would look good. I did all this so that it would work. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you, God is doing a work in you, and it's not just to make you look good. Amen?
Amen.
God is doing a work in you to accomplish something. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. As we can take a look at lives of conflict. Lives of conflict. We are in the series on prayer. And we take a look at prayer. And some of you are thinking, you know, can't we just get over this prayer thing? Prayer, schmear. Come on. I'm making it a couple of times a month here. I'm doing all I can. I'm not really all that good at prayer. You know, I really don't know how to do it. Come on. What does God really want from me? I'm giving it an hour every once in a while. Can't we just move on? I don't really know how to do it. I'm not that good at it. Well, that's why we've been having a series on prayer, to try to equip you to be better. We started off and said, hey, just start praying. Just pray about it. If you don't know what to pray for, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for my family. And I'll be praying for you. I am praying for you. I pray for you. But what will happen as you start praying, you become familiar with God. You get familiar with His presence. And as you get familiar with God, you begin to line up on Him. As you line up on Him, you begin to pray for His plan. You begin to sacrifice your plan for His plan. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I got to stop the crackling going on. It's freaking me out. There we go. It's just a mint. I got mints in my office. You can have them. They're free. You don't have to crackle. Maybe I'll take a mint. You're going to give me a mint. There we go. All right. Start out praying. You get lined up on God. You start working the plan of God. And you know what? You start working the plan of God, you will make it to more than two services in a month.
That's right.
Can I get a witness on that?
Yeah.
This is a big deal that we got going on here. Why? Paul is saying we face death all day long. How'd you do last week? Because I tell you what, when you're facing death all day long, you're going to take all the help you can get. Amen? Paul says, we're more than conquering. How'd you do last week? Were you conquering? Or were you getting pushed down? Were you getting pushed back? We live lives of conflict. Title of our message today. And if you're going to make it through, you're going to need some prayer. Because prayer will get you through. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You got some notes there? Number one. We are in a battle. Two things you can do. You can, in a battle, you can win, you can lose. Amen?
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
See, some of you guys think you guaranteed victory. That is not true. That's why Paul says, grab on. All right, Matthew 16, 18, and 19. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. On this confession of Christ. Have you made a confession of Christ? If so, you are part of the church. You are part of the body of Christ. And he says, as you become part of that church, that the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against the church. Now, is this picture of the church pushing back hell? Amen?
Amen.
All right. And he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's a pretty good power. Can I get a witness on that part? And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what Paul is telling us is that, or what Jesus is saying is that the church is fashioned to be a weapon in the hands of God.
That's right.
That the church is the active agent in the battle of good versus evil. I struggled to come up with a picture of the battle of good and evil, and this is what I came up for it. Because some of you will look at that Raiders emblem and just get this picture and just grasp onto, oh, evil. The devil is way more evil than the Raiders. But I wanted to give you something that you could grab onto grab onto this morning and get a feel for what we're talking about. Because it doesn't get much more evil than hell or the devil. And the church is created for the purpose, many purposes, to shine the light, to be a witness, be the living body, but to push back hell. Many of you, when I asked if you had made that profession of faith to ask Christ to come into your life, you said, yeah, that's me. That's you? Yes, Jesus, come into your life? Yes, man, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I live to serve Him. I am part of the church. Well, if you are part of the church, Jesus is building you for not just to be pretty, but for a purpose. And your purpose is to be part of the church and to push back hell. So how'd you do this week? How far did you push? How much did you gain? Some of you are thinking, wow, I didn't even know I was on the job last week. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. As you are part of the church, it is your job to be part of the team and to push back hell. And I hope you are pushing. Because Christians are created for conflict. Say, wait a minute, what about all that peace stuff? Okay, you have peace in your heart. But I tell you what, you ask Christ to come into your life, and all of a sudden you have a target right in the middle of your forehead that every demon and the devil wants to destroy you and destroy your future. It's like, wow, this is not a very happy sermon, is it today? Sorry, man, it's a stumbling block. That's what it says. 1 Timothy 6:12, this is Paul writing to this young guy that he's bringing up in the faith. And Paul's old, and Timothy's probably as old as me. And he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And Paul is talking about this battle, this life of conflict, this struggle. And as you enter into the life of Christ, things are changed. You get a new hope. Amen.
Amen.
You get a new future. Amen. And you enter into this battle. And the future that the Lord has for us includes a reward. Some say that we strive for a crown, and that your crown will look different based on your performance while in the body. I'm not saying that you have to earn or struggle for salvation. Salvation, Jesus struggled for you. Amen? He carried that cross, and he persevered through the torture and the abuse and the beatings and the whippings, and they nailed him to that cross, and he hung on that cross, and he died a death for you. And all you need to do to receive that is to say, Lord, forgive me my sins, accept your death. I believe that you were crucified, died, and were raised from the dead, and you will be saved. Amen? As that happens, that is not the end. So many people think, whew, that was tough, I'm done now. No, that is the beginning of this struggle. And that is why Paul says, fight the good fight, and he says, hold on. Because as soon as you make that profession of faith, there are those that would come along to you. Let me see your hand there, Angelo. Stand up, bro. It's like you're holding on to that thing, and there's those that would just grab that wrist and try and yank it loose. Thank you, Angelo. You get what I'm saying? How many of your friends say, oh, yeah, we'll see how long. I'll tell you what, man, it was years after I got saved. People were still looking at me, see, this is a phase. I'm serious. My brother is here, man, and he would tell you. Oh, yeah, well, he would tell you lots of things. But anyway, he's not here today, is he? No. You know what? You know where my brother is? He's at a soccer game. And his daughter is here because she's in a tournament. And they travel. My sister-in-law is in Utah, where their other daughter is playing another soccer tournament. Okay? They are like the soccer family. And they do that, and she's got a website that has all of her plays and stuff, and colleges are looking at her and all this stuff. But I remember before I was saved, my brother was fired up for the Lord. He said, hey, man, you want to come and hear this speaker? I go, it's Tuesday night, Tom. What are you talking about? No one goes to church on Tuesday. You go on Sunday. And that's just like on Easter and Christmas, man. No, I ain't going to nothing. He was all fired up. Now he's more fired up for soccer. You know, it's like, hold on. Because there's all kinds of things that would come along. Oh, there's booze and drugs. Prostitution, pornography, all that stuff. Anger, bitterness, malice, we'll talk about that stuff. But you know what else will come along? Soccer. Soccer. He says, hold on. Hold on. Because it is a battle. It is conflict. There is a threat. There is an enemy that wants to destroy you. It is a lifelong challenge. And the enemy is studying you and knows what works against you. I heard on the news this week that Chargers camp started. And their goal is one goal. What's that goal? Win the Super Bowl. And what they're going to do is they're going to work as hard as they can to get as good as they can. And they're already, I'm sure, people studying each one of the teams that they're going to play. And they have films. And they're going to look for weaknesses in each of those teams. And then they're going to come up with plays. In fact, they'll have a play that looks the same. And they'll play it. They'll use that play like four times in the game. All to set up the fifth time when it goes like this, it goes like this, it goes like this, and the last time it goes like that for a touchdown. And they will study each one of their teams, of their opponents, and they will come up with a plan that will defeat them. And your enemy studies you and comes up with a strategy. It don't have to work today. It don't have to work tomorrow. It don't have to work the next week. But he's laying a foundation that you would lose your grip and lose your reward. And that's why Paul says, fight the good fight and grab hold, because you can slip off and lose everything. It's not a happy day. Amen. We got lives in conflict, and we're trying to get ready to win the victory. Amen? Because we have an enemy defeat. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Let's talk about that enemy, because the enemy has a leader. Be self-controlled. Any of you guys show a little lack of control this week? And alert. Anybody less than alert this week? Because when you don't show control, you probably learned some of that in your training, right? Gordo, be alert, be self-controlled, because you don't want to get to a position of exposure. Exposure for what? So your enemy can come and take advantage of you. Why? Because your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for who he can defeat. No. Devour. He wants to come and eat you up. Oh, that sounds so cute. Oh, no, it's not cute. He wants to chew you up and destroy you. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. See, he's prowling around looking at other people too. And while he's waiting on you, he's got some other people he's seeing some success on. And maybe he's seeing some success on you. And he's just waiting on that person down the street. Because they're alert today. But you have done dropped your guard. And he is ready to attack you and devour you. He is a formidable enemy. He has been doing it for a long time. He got Adam and Eve. Started with a whisper. Did God really say? Did God really say? See, he'll come up to you. He doesn't come. He is not going to come up to my wife all dressed up with a fork and horns. Because my wife would be running. You're the devil. No. The enemy comes even masquerading as an angel of light. See, he can look good. He knows how to put on a show. And he'll come up to you and he'll start whispering to you. Lori, did God really say? Beatrice, God is not going to notice this. God doesn't really care about this. God will let this go. He got Adam and Eve. He got all kinds of people. You know what? He comes to my brother and he says, you got to go to the championships. Got to make that trek. Kids don't got time for church. Kids got to play. He comes masquerading as an angel of light. But don't be mistaken. He is utterly evil and wants to destroy you. John 8:44, talking to the Pharisees. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. Oh, I would not want anybody to say that to me. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Man, he is good at what he's been doing for a whole long time. And he's a great deal of success. You take a look at our world. Oh, he's doing good. The church is the active agent of heaven on pushing him back. To do that, you got to be alert. You got to be on the job. Got to be thinking about it. Amen?
Amen?
All right. He's not working alone. The enemy is organized. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You know, God's got more power than you got. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his... And you know what? It's another way that the enemy causes us to kind of lose track. You take a look at these young men over here, strong. Joe's benching 350. So easy for the enemy to come on and say, you're so strong. You can do it on your own. My brother, who's a year younger than me, benches 450. My other Tom, my brother, saying, yeah, he'd be over there curling 150 pounds, but dumbbell, like nothing. The devil come on and say, you're so strong, you can do it on your own. He's good. He'll take your pride and use it against you. He'll take your fears, use it against you. But he doesn't work alone. He says, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. So you got rulers, powers, and authorities right down here, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. No, it's in heaven. They're far away. No, he's talking about the spiritual realms, which is right here, right close, right there, right close enough to touch. I'll tell you what, preaching the word, I got a little attention in here right now. Spiritual forces of evil arrayed against this church, against this state, against this country. How much does this government love the Lord? Oh, we got in God we trust. It's only on our money. It's not in our Congress. It's not in the Senate, not in the White House, and it's not in the Supreme Court. Oh, he's good. He can wait 200 years. Start off strong and weak and lost. And having lost your grip. How you doing on your fight? Positions of authority. You know that man? That's our mayor. He is facing scandal of sexual battery or harassment. There we go. I tell you what, this is not the guy that you're going to go to for help in the righteous realm. He has already displayed his character. The devil has already undercut his feet. And you're not going to find any support for what you got going on and what you want going on from these authorities. Many of these, I'm not saying all our authorities are lost or anything like that. But I tell you what, you take a look at the value of God in our culture, it is dropping. But I'm telling you, you be strong in the Lord, and you're going to be a conqueror as what? We face death all day long. Amen? How? In His mighty power. All right. So now, it is not just the physical realm that we're talking about, the natural realm. We're talking about the supernatural realm. Talking about these forces of evil. We're talking about demons that would come against you and everything that you hold valuable. These demons are the angels that were cast out with the devil from heaven. Third of the angels cast out with the devil. And they are arrayed against the church to bring destruction. They're organized. The Bible talks about how they communicate, how they work together, how they are organized. And the devil uses both to carry out his strategies. Now, he controls the demon. Man, you just tell him, hey, go over there and mess with Richard. Go over there and mess with Mike. Send Mike on a fishing trip. Let him catch a lot of fish. Delay that boat. It works. Don't it work, Mike? Oh, yeah, it works. Mike will be leaving to go fishing or tend to get back for church. Oh, the boat was delayed. Caught so many fish. Devil, man, hey. You just move some fish right on them hooks. Devil got Adam and Eve, got many along the way. Strategies for this country, for this state, this city. Strategies for this church. Strategies for me. Strategies for my family. Strategies for you. Strategies for them. I had to pull some pictures up of these kids because they are so innocent and they are so lovely and they are so precious. And to think of the devil having plans already laid for their destruction, that in 10 years, when they're 15, 16, 18 years old, they could be incorrigible. And the Bible says, be on your guard. Be aware. Because he would use your faults to exploit your children to build weakness in them that would cause their failure when they hit 14, 15 years old. Question for you is, how many of you had failure when you're 13, 14, 15 years old? It started way back then when he started his strategies against you. Why? Because he prowls around seeing who he can devour like a roaring lion. The cool thing is, because some of you face that challenge, you're 13, 14, 15, and 16. But all things work to good who have been called according to his name. Amen? Who love him. And the Lord in his mercy has pulled you out of the pit. He says, hey, be on guard, live on guard, so what happened to you don't happen to them. Am I talking to anybody out there today? We got to be alert. All right, the life of warfare, the life of a warrior. The best offense is a good defense. Is that right, Mr. Reverend Mars?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 through 31. In your anger, don't sin. Why? I'll tell you in a second. Says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. That's a challenge to some. Doing something useful with his own hands so that he may have something to share with those in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. I mean, I've been hitting you with a bunch of stuff, some of you. Here we go. but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. This is the list. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So you're going to be on guard. You're going to fight the good fight. You're going to push back the devil. You got to shore up your own life so that he can't tear you down. Amen? Yeah. Anger, it says. First thing, in your anger, do not sin. Because you can get out of control in your anger. Am I talking to anybody here?
Oh, yeah.
I used to drive a 64-passenger bus in Sacramento in the hood, picking up children, wonderful children, for church. And I remember it was in the hood, and I'm driving this big old bus, and I'm coming along my bus, and it's long. It's a big bus, man. It's filled with these wonderful little cherubims. And I hang my left into the alley to go to the back of the church, which was in the ghetto, and here is this homeless lady. You're not going to move. Standing right there, and I kid you not, I get the 64-passenger bus, and I've got it cocked in halfway into the alley because that lady is standing there looking at my bus right in her face. And I'm like, really? Really, lady? Come on, I got this bus full of screaming, wonderful cherubim kids. Going to kids' club. And I jump out. And I'm going, lady, and she turns at me and spits right in my face. And I tell you, I went, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do to this old homeless lady, man? And so she was moving now, and I wiped off my face. But you know what? The devil clung right there. She's not going to stand for that. Not going to take that. Those kids saw you. Disgusting woman spitting in your face. Get her. And I got on my bus, you know, I was like, she's getting in there, you know. And I came out and the cops had hooked her up. I don't know how or whatever. I don't know why. But she was in cuffs, man. And but in your anger, don't sin. Be self-controlled. Don't let the devil come along and whisper that thought into your heart that is going to do what? Give him I could use this down the road. Pastor, arrested for beating a homeless woman. Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Wife crying outside of jail. Worship leader. Don't give the enemy a foothold. He's good enough that whatever you give him, he'll find a way to use. He gives a list there. Stealing, unwholesome talk. What does it matter what I say? It will matter on them kids. Bitterness and rage will lead to that brawling part. That bitterness, oh, the devil just stir that up. Get rid of it. Prayer will help you. Confess it. Lord will take it away. Go up with something else.
Amen.
Amazingly, though, 20 years ago, that lady spit in my face. I still remember it. Rage. Brawling. Slander. That's lying on somebody. You know what she did? That's lying on somebody. Malice. Malice just means you're just angry and want to get over on somebody. Those are the footholds that you can give to the devil. Enemy uses these to loosen your grip on your reward. And then he says there, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your heart and begins to guide you into truth, guide you into making good choices, guide you into dealing with stealing, unwholesome talk, bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, and malice. Are you tracking with me there? And he's guiding you. He's going, here you go. Here you go, Ed. Go down and help the pastor. Yeah, work on the fence. You know, it's going to be fun. You'll hang out. Talk about the Bible. Talk about the Lord. And, man, we worked. We had a good time, right? We got tired, didn't we? Oh, man, I was beat yesterday. But sometimes we say, no, I don't want to go help that pastor. I think I'm going to go to the bar. There's a party. Yeah. Serving Bud Lights. I think I'm going to go there instead. And you know what? It says, do not grieve. And the Holy Spirit just goes, oh. You know how your kid, grieving. Padres played Friday night. And I watched it for a minute. They got beat 10-0. And I'm watching it, you know, it's still early. And, you know, you got the hope. Maybe they can pull it out. Maybe they can, you know, it's like 2-0 or something, 1-0. And one guy bunts. And the catcher comes up and overthrows first base. The guy on first base runs all second base, third base. And I can't remember the left field or right fielder who got the ball. But the guy decides he's coming home. And the guy in left right field throws it to the catcher, who's the guy who overthrew first base, and he can't catch that either. Misses that one. So it's like the overthrow first, the ball comes back, he can't catch that, and they score a run on a bunt. Whoa. You know what I did? I turned that TV off, man. It's like, and these guys are making me sick. Now, listen. The Padres grieved me that play. And what the Lord says is, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes he puts some stuff in our, he's got some direction. There you go, man. There's a victory right there. We turn the right turn and we end up with a defeat. And he just goes, oh. Sometimes you see it in your kid. Just make these, Kid brings back report from the teachers. Did poorly in school. Bring back a report, got an F on a test. You know what I'm talking about? You know how that grieves you? We can do that to God. We can do that to God. That we would grieve the Holy Spirit. And as we grieve the Holy Spirit, there's distance that comes from that, and our grip on our future is loosened. Does that make sense? So we have to fight the good fight. We're living a life of warfare. Always be on guard. Always be on guard. Always be on guard. 6:18, Ephesians. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's a lot of praying. Can I get a witness on that? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. That alertness. You're going to fight the good fight. Prayer will get you through. Amen? Prayer will make you alert. You are living as a target. The devil just wants... Steve, the devil just wants to destroy you. Every day he's going, man, is he going to let down his guard today? Debbie, the devil is looking for you. Ed, the devil wants you to stop playing guitar up here for us. He's saying, I'm going to break his fingers one of these days. I'm going to have Gail slam the car on his hand or something, you know? And so you got to be on guard. The more you do for the Lord, the more he wants to attack you. Why? Because you're valuable around. Watch out, Ed. All this fan work you're doing, man, the devil's looking at you now. Oh, man, he's helping at the church. I'm going to go start going fishing with Mike, the other guy who helps a lot at the church. You're a target. You know what it means to be a target. We live in the hood. That's what our houses look like, man. We got bars on the doors, bars on the windows. Why? Because we're on guard. We don't want to be dumb and let our guard down. But sometimes spiritually we let our guard down all the time. And we walk right into defeat. The devil's looking to get over on you. Be alert, be focused, and be prepared, because the enemy will try to blindside you. He knows what works against you. He's got a book on you. Living on guard requires self-denial, discipline, and hardship. Put a focus on God. Best way to put a focus on God was a great way. To put a focus on God is prayer. I mean, getting the word, get in prayer, man, and you get hooked up with the Holy Spirit. He's going to be saying, watch out, Ed. When you go to Costco today, get your hand out. Door's going to close, you know, and I'm telling you, the Lord will put that in your head. Maybe not specifically, but I say, you know, I don't think I want to go to Costco today, huh? You just go. Bring me back one of them slices, though. Pizza slice, yeah. You know what I'm saying? He give you one, and then he says, don't eat that pizza slice. Hardening the arteries. Get focused on the Lord. You pray, prayer will get you through, and it will equip you for the battle. Amen?
Amen.
So how'd you do this week? You push back hell? Or did hell push you down? You say, man, come on. I was programming my phone, putting up fans. I had my kid, man. My brother's coming. I got a soccer game to watch. I got all kinds of stuff going on. I got life to live, man. I didn't even think about hell. I was not engaged. He says, be prepared. Those guys in Afghanistan, they are on guard. You think that dude's on guard? I don't know if that's a real picture or not, but that's a real picture, and there's bullets flying around there. I guarantee you that dude is focused. Amen?
Amen.
And what happens, though, is he'll come out of that battle. Maybe he's 3 days, 10 days. I don't know how many days they're out there. And what happens is he makes it through that firefight. He takes a shower, and he's on, what do they call it, OR, or just on his own time. And he's going in, you know, maybe going to go to a taco stand. I don't know what they got in Iraq. But what happens is his guard is down, right? His guard is down. He's in a non-combatant area, and he steps on a bomb. Why? Because here he is on high alert, and he is ready, and he is watching for what he's going to step on. But what happens to us is we will get on high alert. I mean, you might be really focused right now. Where's your greatest area? What's your biggest foothold that the devil uses on you? Because right now, probably the Lord is going, it's the pornography! Whatever, it's the gossip. Whatever it is, it's being shouted to you right now. Is the Lord talking to anybody right now? Oh, yeah, man, he's screaming some stuff to some of you people. And as you walk out, it's a pornography. It's a pornography. And the devil starts saying, that pornography, you got that under control. And you start walking along, and you step, boom. And the enemy will just devour you. You've been thinking, well, I've been doing okay. How about them? Can you be on your guard for them? Because one time you were like them. And the enemy got you. And you can be on guard to spare them. To spare those that you care for around you. So what's your biggest foothold? Lisa, you want to come up? What's the biggest area of weakness? What's the biggest challenge that came at you last week? Where was your greatest victory? Where was your greatest advance? Oh, man, I just whooped on the devil. I hope it was somewhere. Because if you can't remember your last victory, that probably means you're not really engaged. And that however pretty you look, you're not doing your job. And the Lord has created you for a purpose, to push back the gates of hell in your family, right around your house, right in your workplace, right in this church. Hope you're not just looking pretty. Hope you're looking busy for the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that it is an incredible task that we face, Lord. And we humble ourselves and we come in prayer, Lord, because we know that prayer is what is going to take us through, Lord. That prayer is going to fine-tune us, Lord, to the strategies of the enemy that would come against us, Lord. That prayer is going to Show us, Lord, these areas of exposure that we have, Lord, in our lives that need to be closed off. The change needs to happen, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are not done with us, Lord, that all these strategies, Lord, of the enemy, Lord, all these challenges that we face, Lord, that you turn them around and use them for good. My failures from last week, Lord. I don't want to fail this next week, Lord, but I know that I'm going to learn from those failures, Lord, and I'm going to move in a different direction next week, Lord, be transformed in my thoughts, in my behavior, and I'm going to make new choices. I'm going to be on guard. I'm going to see that attack coming. I'm going to protect my kids. I'm going to protect my wife. I'm going to protect my loved ones around me, Lord. I'm going to be praying for that guy across the street, Lord. I mean, praying for my workmate, Lord. I am going to be your weapon, Lord. I'm gonna begin to push back hell as I see hell pushing in around me, Lord. I'm not gonna stand still. I'm gonna be busy for you. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit is just speaking to you, and He is calling you to battle. He is saying right now, here is this attack that is coming. Here is the battle that is, here's the strategy that has already taken five steps. It's ready to bring calamity into your life. And right now, the Lord is just speaking it to your heart. He's saying, you can make a change. You can gear up. Ask for some prayer. We're going to pray. We're going to find God's strength. We're going to move in a different direction. We're going to close up those loopholes, those footholds, I mean. And we are going to, find that. We're going to take defeat and we're going to turn it into victory for God. Lord, speaking to your heart right now. Lord, saying right now, Lord, there needs to be some changes or you're going to lose hold. You know, that grip is going to slip. Maybe you already feel your hands a little sweaty. Maybe you just feel it kind of slipping off. And saying, oh, Lord, no, I don't want that to happen. Lord, I want to just grab on. Lord, I want that. Lord, I can't do it on my own. I come to you in prayer, Lord. I come to you to strengthen me, to equip me, and I'll fight, and I'll battle. I'm not going to be sidestepping anymore. I'm going to be alert for you, be battling for you. The Lord's speaking to your heart this morning. Lord, speaking to your heart this morning. You want that grip just to be tight. I just want you to just slide your hand up, just like you're gripping on that rope that was in that picture, and just tighten your fist right on it and say, here I am, Lord. That's you this morning. Just slide it way up, like you're reaching up to heaven, like you're just going to grab on and say, Lord, I'm not going to drop this anymore. Just grip, make a fist like you're grabbing onto that rope. Just, Lord, no, I'm not gonna slip off, Lord. I'm gonna live a life, Lord, of focus and attention and power by your power and by your spirit, Lord. I'm gonna make the changes that are necessary. And you feel that fist, you feel the strength. I'm gripping my fist really strong. I feel my fingers just reaching, gripping right into my palm. You feel that. I want you to feel that in your prayer life. I want you to feel that this week as you begin to push back hell. As you grab onto heaven, find that power. Find that victory. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Lisa's going to sing a song. You want prayer? You want to fight? You want to go into that battle? You want to be anointed? Come up. I want to pray just a prayer for you and anoint you with oil for battle. That symbol of the Holy Spirit that would just help you to remember to just keep that grip. Amen?
Amen.
You want to fight? Come on up. I'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.